Spirit. Amen. Welcome to Alive. This is Claire, and thank you once again for joining me. O my God, I believe, I adore, I hope, and I love thee, and I beg pardon for those who do not believe, do not adore, do not hope, and do not love thee. That's the beautiful prayer that the Angel of Peace, the Angel of Portugal, three young children, Lucia, Francisco, and Jacinta in 1916. And it's a prayer that I love to pray like a mantra. I often go out to Mount St. Mary's in Titirangi, and where they have perpetual adoration. And I have other prayers, of course, but one of the favourite prayers of mine is just to sit there quietly and just repeat that prayer over and over. And then there's another prayer that I like to pray throughout the day, and that is, Lord Jesus, God of mercy, have mercy on me. But what I usually put in there, Lord Jesus, God of mercy, have mercy on, and I have a list of people who I like to pray for throughout the day. And because people know that I pray the rosary often, I am often asked to join a novena for special intentions. So at the moment, there are three groups of people that I am praying a novena for, and we all know that prayer works. But there's another thing that really turbocharges prayer, and that is fasting. Now, fasting is difficult. We live in a world of abundance, and we can eat pretty much whatever we want, is if we can afford it. We don't really do without. And bread and water, which is the biblical fasting, does not seem very appetizing by comparison to what we can have. We are bombarded with taste sensation. But I have always found if I've really needed my prayer to be urgent, and it's especially for other people, I will always add fasting to it. Now, I used to be very religious and fast every Friday, and which is something that I think that we really should all do as kids. It's just something that it's a good habit to get into, and it's not fasting, intermittent fasting for weight loss. That's not what it's for. It's fasting for prayer and for our salvation. So it's part of sacrifice, reparation, and doing these things to help ourselves and other people. And there's another prayer that the angel taught the children. When you offer up something for Jesus, you say, I offer this up, O my Jesus, for love of you, for the conversion of sinners, and in reparation for the outrages committed against the Immaculate Heart of Mary. So that's just something that we can pray every time we offer something up. Oh my Jesus, I offer this up for love of you, for the conversion of sinners, and in reparation for the outrages against the Immaculate Heart of Mary. So these are just little things that we can do and deny ourselves every day. Now, of course, we as Catholics don't have to believe in the apparitions of Our Lady. But when you have something like Fatima, when the miracle of the sun performed in 1917, on the 13th of October, and witnessed by over 70,000 people. They weren't all Catholics. In fact, a lot of them were free thinkers, sceptics, and they had just come to scoff at the children. But they left as believers. In fact, the editor of El Siglo, the main paper of Portugal, the next day he had photographs everywhere on the front page and the story and everything. And he said, I came as a sceptic and I left as a believer. So if Our Lady has asked us to pray the rosary every day, I think that's just something that we can do. And Padre Pio said the rosary is the weapon. Saint Pope John Paul II always had a rosary in his hand. And because people know I pray the rosary, I'm often asked to do a novena for people, which, of course, I always do. Now, something that we could do in the world at the moment, which seems to have turned upside down, is pray the rosary. We have had a conference in Rome over the last couple of days, 3 days, and it was titled Body, Mind and Soul. But it was a very unusual conference for the Vatican in that it had the CEO of Pfizer and Moderna spoke. They had Dr. Fauci. He spoke there too. They had Chelsea Clinton speaking. They had, I think it was the head of the Mormon Church. He spoke about evangelization. And out of all of the speakers, I think there were lots and lots of speakers. I think there were 2 Catholic priests. So it was certainly, you couldn't call it a Catholic conference. Now, at the same time, elsewhere in the world, Patrick Coffin, who has his own show on the internet, he brought together 40 speakers talking about COVID, because there is so much misinformation and fear-mongering, that he brought the top medical doctors in the world, the top scientists. He had Archbishop Vigano. He had Bishop Athanasius Snyder. He had a lawyer, I can't just remember his name at the moment, but from Germany, who has been saying for a long time that we don't have a pandemic of a virus, we have a pandemic of PCR testing, in that he explained that these tests, which were created by Carrie Mullis, were never designed to be used in this particular way. And depending on how many cycles you use, it magnifies the bit of debris that is collected in these samples. So basically nothing over 17, 24 would be maximum to do the cycles to magnify. But what we are using at the moment, we are using 45 cycles, which almost could pick up anything, a dead piece of whatever. And it doesn't necessarily have to be coronavirus, because that has never been isolated. So there is a lot happening. He's been trying to put together a crimes against humanity, so the Nuremberg Code, and a class action. And he has finally got a country to accept this. And so that lawsuit, a class action, is going on in Canada. We also have Sue Gray, a lawyer in New Zealand, and she is taking the government to court about the MedSafe approval, because it states in the MedSafe approval that anything that is experimental, and this has had experimental approval by the FDA, should only be used in a very small number of people. And so it cannot be used as a mandate, or without a mandate, for vaccinating the entire population of New Zealand, which, of course, is what the government has said that is their intention. So that is completely against the law under what is required. And so that went to court in Wellington on Wednesday. Now, I haven't had an update of that, but I'm going to a meeting tomorrow, so it'll be very, very interesting to see what's happened with that. So all over the world, people are just saying they are not going to give up their freedoms. We're talking about a virus that kills a very, very small percentage of people, less than 1%, and it might be 0.05 of people who get it, and they are mainly the elderly with comorbidities. In fact, the average age of death is around 82. So if you're under 70, your chances of, if you get it, because it's actually very spreadable, and surviving is huge. Under 60 or 50 to 60, your survival is, well, the death rate is almost zero. And if you are younger than that, a young adult or a teenager or a young child, your chance of dying is zero. So I don't know why the world has gone nuts in saying that the whole world has to be vaccinated. Now, that's a huge plus for the vaccine companies, but even the vaccine, which was manufactured double quick time, whereas they usually take between 5 and 10 years and lots of trials. So this has been put together of months, and there have been lots of side effects. But even before the side effects, these vaccines have been developed and produced using fetal cell lines. Now, for a Catholic, straight off, that's a no. So as a Catholic, I certainly will not be taking the vaccine. And I urge anyone listening, if you are a Catholic or a person of goodwill, please don't take the vaccine. It's a bit like, well, okay, you're going to offer up the lives of aborted babies for the good of humanity. Well, the ends does not justify the means. And what a selfish attitude. So we can, they're disposable because we want to live longer. I mean, that's preposterous. And it's not what I would expect any Catholic to think or say or do. So these vaccines are quite dangerous. They say they're safe and effective, but the safety trials were a matter of months, so you don't know what's going to happen down the future. A lot of these autoimmune problems, you know, take months or even years to surface. And Dr. Michael Yeadon, who was actually the vice president, former vice president, and chief scientific officer of Pfizer, he was protesting towards the end of last year, and he even put a petition out to try and stop the Vaxxer or the Pfizer vaccine trials. But within a week or so, they had the FDA emergency approval. Now, even the CEO of Pfizer, Albert Bourla, is on record as saying that there should have been more trials to ascertain whether a vaccinated person could spread the virus. So really what he's saying here, and what they're talking about all over the world at the moment, is shedding. So can a vaccinated person actually shed the virus? So Dr. Fauci is telling people they have to wear a mask for 10 days. So he's sort of saying yes. There's even a directive, if you have been vaccinated, you are not to give blood for 28 days. And I heard of a very sad instance where somebody was vaccinated and everyone in their house wasn't. The following day, everyone got COVID and one person died the next day. Now, if you get COVID, surely you develop symptoms and you get worse and worse and worse, and you might die, you know, a week or two after that. But to die the next day is quite extraordinary. So shedding, it's a big issue. Babies have had the vaccine and have died. Toddlers have had the vaccine and died. What are we doing? Parents, what are you thinking? Dr. Yeadon was even warning about the possibility of infertility from the vaccine for women and even miscarriage. And that certainly many, many women have had miscarriages very quickly after having the vaccine. And there was even, I saw online on the group that I'm on, one mother had the vaccine and was breastfeeding, and her baby got very, very sick, wouldn't take her milk, was very, very fussy, and died the next day. So very, very sad things here. So I just don't think that we should be contemplating having this experimental agent genetically modified with nanoparticles, and safety trials are not nearly long enough. So that's my little thing about being Catholic. Okay, if you know someone who has taken the vaccine, which I do, extended family members, then help them to find good health protocols to keep them as well as possible. You've got vitamin D, you've got vitamin C, you've got zinc. You know, get out in the sun, don't lock yourself indoors. There's a lot of things you can do. Now, we've gone just past 3 o'clock, and of course that's Divine Mercy time. And this is a very special prayer that our Lord gave to Saint Faustina. And it's very, very powerful prayer when you feel like your life is so bad and God would never forgive you. Of course he will forgive you. In fact, God loves the sinners most. Remember the story in the Bible about the shepherd looking for the lost sheep, that one sheep. God will always reach out to you. Okay, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit, and suffered under Pontius Pilate, and was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. He will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen. Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One, have mercy on us and on the whole world. Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One, have mercy on us and on the whole world. Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One, have mercy on us and on the whole world. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Now, if you're pregnant and worried, or you know someone who is, there is a fabulous organization based in Auckland, Family Life International. Now, they have just opened their St. Gianna's home for mothers and babies in Pukekohe. And it's absolutely gorgeous. I've just spent most of the last fortnight there, and Bishop Michael Geelan came on Wednesday and did a blessing of the whole house. There were about 110 people, absolutely fantastic. It was a bit rainy at first, but then the sun came out and we had an absolutely perfect day. So a great asset to Pukekohe, to Auckland, and to the Catholic Church. And there certainly has been support, not just from our donors, but from the diocese as well. So we're very, very grateful for this wonderful thing that we can offer our women. So practical help for sure. I am still in touch with many of the girls I have been helping over the years. In fact, it's lovely to catch up with them and see their beautiful babies, growing and doing really, really well. So Family Life International, St. Gianna's Home, keep that in mind if you ever hear anyone in need. In fact, one of the ladies who worked for the caterers, she kept coming and asking me, so, you know, what's this all about? You know, what do you do? Who do you take in? What is the criteria? And she was fascinated. So every 5 minutes she was asking me a question. And by the end of it, she said, I absolutely love what you're doing. I want to be a volunteer. So that was just the powerful witness of, you know, God's mercy in action. And it just touched somebody's heart. So that was a wonderful thing to see. So again, if you know someone in need, we are there at the end of the phone. And the number is 0274 488 070. So keep that handy. I have been asked many, many times by all sorts of people, you know, what we do, how we can help. And in fact, someone the other day just was talking to me, and they had a whole lot of brand new towels and sheets, and they wondered if we could use them. Most certainly we could use them. So if you're looking to help out in any way, that would certainly be graciously accepted. Okay, the time has gone as usual very, very quickly, and we're going to finish with that beautiful hymn that we started with.